Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots training camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. It's supposed to be tough. It's the NFL. It's training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
Day two of Patriots training camp, the 2014 edition, was a beauty, fellas. Absolute beautiful day for training camp, summer. Perfect day. Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, just off the field where practice went
up. Technically, we're just off the... where we ate lunch.
I mean, you know, just as a subjective
within the last hour we
right.
were on the field.
Yeah. It's all relative.
They went about 2.5 hours today out in the cloudless sunshine. Perfect day. Still in the helmets, shells, and shorts per the CBA. But it was a little bit feistier today. I felt like
sure.
a little bit more energy to today's practice than yesterday. Before we get into all the details, quick housekeeping. The same players who were not practicing yesterday, for the most part, were not out there today. You can add to that rookie Jamea Thomas, who was maybe in part of the rehab group. I don't remember seeing him at all. I don't know if you guys spotted him at any point.
Jamea been.
so you set him up pretty well for that. And then during practice, there was a casualty, our first one of camp, Greg Orton, wide receiver, who was re-signed just recently.
No, really, Andy, he was.
Yeah.
No, I know. He was here last year. No. I'm well aware.
Not last year.
Not last year,
per se.
This calendar year.
Whatever.
But he, at the very end of the 7-on-7 period, down in the far red zone drill period, landed awkwardly. I didn't quite see exactly how he did it, but it didn't look like he was contacted by anybody. It's not like he...
Which is bad.
Yeah, which is very bad. But he went down in a heap. They had to get the that big bubble cart. And
he did ride in the front seat, which for some reason I always feel slightly better than riding on the flat part in the back. I don't know why.
Yeah, because...
It says your ACL's blown, so you might as well sit up here. We know.
Well, if you can't even bend your knee,
right.
Then maybe it... But still, just the fact that he had to get taken off was not good for him.
In addition to that, most of the wide receivers individually went over and sort of gave him a pat and probably a couple of words. So it looked to me
it could have been
something significant.
Yeah. So unfortunate for him, something to keep an eye on, obviously. But like I said, it was a little bit more of an energized feel to practice today, I thought. What did you guys
think? I agree, and I credit the defense for that. I think the defense brought it. I thought the secondary was the star of the day, maybe, as a group. There was one drill, Paul, where we were watching, sort of a 7-on-7 type drill in the red zone, and it was just one batted ball or incomplete pass after another, except when Wilson Van Hooser went.
Literally,
he was 2-for-2. He had 2 touchdowns.
Literally 2-for-10 on the first 10 reps, and the 2 completions were both to Wilson Van Hooser.
And then, you know, I thought in other aspects, we even saw a little light scuffle between Kyle Arrington
first
and Julian
time,
Edelman.
I mean, day two of camp.
And I saw, you know, Wilson kind of gave a little shove to, it might have been Amendola. I think there was just a little more competitive juice and energy. And
which is a little bizarre on not only the second day of camp, but the second day of camp without even full pads and full contact.
Right.
So,
which has me ready for tomorrow when they actually have pads on and they can hit.
Very excited about that.
But, I thought the defense looked good. On the flip side, part of the reason the defense looked so good is because young James Garoppolo did not look very good. He threw an interception in the end zone that I have never seen before. A middle linebacker just standing there flat-footed
on the goal
with
line.
His hands in front of him, triangle, waiting for the ball to get there. I've never seen it. Don't know who he was throwing to.
Chris
but
White,
it was
obviously.
Apparently.
Yeah, Chris White with a nice pick.
And he had another pick later. On the opposite end of the field in the end zone, Jimmy Garoppolo struggled.
He did.
A lot of throws behind receivers.
Yeah.
Just not a very good
Yeah, that other one, there was tight coverage. The pass may have been a little bit behind the receiver and the defender. I think it was Butler.
Daxton Swanson.
Oh, Daxton Swanson. Okay.
I believe that one was. The first one was definitely Chris White, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But the other one.
And then actually later he threw a deep ball really near the end of practice that was 5 yards too deep, and I watched, and he literally just, his chin hit his chest, the hanging of the head, dropped his head in frustration.
Hey.
Felt like he was having a bad day.
Tom Brady's had those days, too. Nobody's perfect.
Nope. Drew Bledsoe's had those days.
Second day in a row we saw...
Often late in the year from games 8 to 16.
Second day in a row we saw Rob Gronkowski running around out there doing basically what he did yesterday. A lot of drill work, a
drill
lot of individual
work,
stuff.
Teamwork.
At the end of practice, though, put the shoulder pads on.
Yep.
Along with Tom Brady, some of the O and D line. They did a little bit of extra work trying to simulate getting ready for when full pads are ready. And he spoke afterwards.
He did.
And had something interesting to say, don't you think, Paul?
Gronk?
Yeah.
Specifically? Yeah, well, at first he talked about just being how excited he was to be back out there and all that. And several times mentioned the grind of the off season for him and just with all the rehab. And he closed by saying he wouldn't wish what he's gone through the last 2 years on anybody.
Yeah.
Just the rehab and how just...
Did he say he felt like he should have stayed out this year? Or?
Unglamorous it was, and
he's not an idiot.
And the work that you do, it's you know he talked a lot about that, but said he's still not 100%, but working to get there. And he felt like he'll be in. He said he'll be in pads tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
And doing whatever he can, and no timetable on when he thinks he will be completely 100%. But he was asked a question specifically about you know sort of maintaining his health. Which I thought was a good question in light of we talk about this a lot and wide receivers sort of preserve themselves a little bit by, you know, maybe discretion being the better part of valor. Doesn't intend to change his style at all. That's the way he plays. He's going to fight for every extra yard. If I can drag a guy into the end zone, I'm going to do it. That's the way I play, and I'm not going to change that ever.
I'm encouraged to hear that because you'd hate for a guy like him with such talent to do what you said and to, you know, try to hang back a little bit. And by then, he's not the same player. He's not the dominant player that he once was.
I think that's a huge part of what his game is, his physicality and, you know, that just that beast that he is.
Right.
I think that's a big part of what he is.
And I'm curious, based on what he said, both about his health and about the pads, whether or not when he's in full pads tomorrow, as he predicted, he will be more involved or not. In the team period stuff or the 7-on-7
I'm gonna go with
stuff.
Not.
I'm going to go with not, too.
I'm going to say not, but...
I'm going to go with not, too, but...
Yeah. And we should say that, you know, toward the end of the practices, both days, a lot of the guys that have been here have put on mm-hmm. pads and gone over some more work.
Because they're allowed to.
Yeah, because they're allowed to. I'm sorry. and then today, well, the reason why I actually just thought about it, he threw a pass to Brady, but I didn't even hear you say it. He threw a pass to Brady today. Did you already say that, too?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay. Because I would have just stopped.
And Brady's showing immense versatility, and I don't mean so much as he was catching a pass, as the previous snap he had been playing nose tackle against Ryan Wendell in some drill on the opposite end of the field. Then he comes down, lines up wide, and Gronk throws him a touchdown. So Brady's an athlete.
The more he can do here. Gronk said, I got that. You know, wasn't a great spiral, but I got that, he said.
Yeah, it wasn't, actually.
Yeah.
Bit of a flutter.
You know, in your 15th year here, the more you can do to stick around.
Speaking of the more you can do to stick around, I think a lot of us had Patrick Chung sort of envisioned as a special team role. Well, at least for today, his role was playing safety in a group that included the likes of Browner and McCourty. And, you know, I think we're going to see some rotation there.
We may have
anointed Harmon the guy there, and I still think he will end up being the guy there. But other guys are getting some reps rolling
through.
Yeah,
we had a good day one podcast because as soon as we talked about that yesterday at length,
mm-hmm.
Day two, they had a different guy in that role, as we kind of thought.
And
it might
I would
be.
Say the same thing about the interior offensive line, where we saw a little mixing and matching today. We saw some Dan Conley at center and moving some guys around. So positions that we think are going to be competitive look like they're starting to be, you know, as competitive as you can be in day
two. Yeah, and maybe on day three, when they put the pads on, maybe then we'll see Daron Harmon get his chance to fill in that role that has been sort of.
Because I will say, during one segment where there was a defense on one end, sort of a front 7-8 defense working in a drill. Harmon, Browner, and Revis were together on the far end. So he's still kind of spends a lot of time hanging out with guys that I project to be mm-hmm. starters. So I think he's still very much in that high-end mix.
I agree.
Another thing we talked about yesterday that we saw again today during special teams, today it was the punt team that was the focus. Brady went with some of his favorite receivers over to the near end zone in front of the media tent to work on goal line type pass patterns. Gronk was among them again. Julian Edelman was among them again. Kenrell Tompkins among them again. But the fourth guy, at least in the first time, was Brandon LaFell, while Danny Amendola, who was there yesterday, went and was playing the role of return man for the scout team on punt return, which to me raised my eyebrows a little bit, because you can put anybody back there on the scout team, in whether it's offense, defense, or special teams. The time when Brady needs to work with his core guys, yesterday Amendola was there. Today he wasn't. That to me was a little bit curious. I don't know if you guys noticed that or made...
I noticed it.
I did notice it. I didn't make as much of it as you are, and you might be right. I look at, I know it was scout team punt return, but to me, for the returner himself, all the reps to me are valuable. And if they're thinking about making him the punt returner, then every rep over there... Because I'd be curious to see, you know, how they feel about Edelman. And you know, guys know what I think of Edelman as a punt returner. I think he is electric. Mm-hmm. Now, the second half of last season, it really dropped off.
Well, he basically caught everything.
I thought it was because of the workload.
Of his catches were,
I thought it was because of the workload. And for the second consecutive day, we're going to bring Matt Chatham, our buddy, into the podcast.
Magoo!
He thinks it's because they're not getting good enough blocking. And he broke it all down for me and Andy talking about how they don't have the hold-up guys, you know.
But no one can prove it, because not even cameras follow that part of the game.
They don't even film it, so no one even knows.
Most undercovered aspect of the game. He's talked to producers across the country. Why don't you cover
more?
So
I'll be curious to see if maybe they want to slide Amendola into the Edelman role. You know, two similar kind of guys, similar body types, similar unfortunate injury history. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's ideal in either regard, but perhaps that's what they're trying to do, and maybe they felt like that. Or, again, it might be another one of these training camp things. Like tomorrow, it'll be a different guy that's over there,
yeah.
And Amendola will be right back with Brady and Edelman and the rest.
The guy who was switching off with him in that was Roy Finch, the rookie who, as we said yesterday, came off of NFI very quickly and was returning kickoffs yesterday, doing some scout team punt work this day. There, I think, I know it's early, but I think he has found some sort of niche where he's trying to make an impact, and the coaches are at least giving him the opportunity to do that.
I would say he's a high-end undrafted rookie. I think we're going to see Finch. I think we're going to see Travis Hawkins, we talked about yesterday. I think we're going to see, when it comes down to it, sort of the pads are on. Stephen Houston is going to get an opportunity. Malcolm Butler, is he an undrafted rookie? Malcolm Butler?
Yes.
I believe so.
Okay, Malcolm Butler got a little run today. There are some young guys that you start to take note of when they're getting reps and who they're getting reps with, and I think Finch will be in that mix until he proves he doesn't deserve to be.
Yeah,
in that
we
mix.
Like to call them the Joe Villano types. This is when we started noticing guys
like
last year.
How he pretends like that's a long-standing thing.
Yep. Well, last year, Joe Villano was nothing. That's the irony.
And we should really point out maybe
special
the guy
teams?
Who's having the best start to the camp
yes,
of anyone,
exactly,
doing his job better than anyone. Stephen Gostkowski, 14 of 14,
who's not sensitive at all.
14 of 14 to open camp in field goal attempts in team segments. 7 of 7 both days. Picking up where he left off last year.
Did you hear that,
year.
Mama Gostkowski?
Great year last year, starting off on the right foot, which is good because it's a contract year.
And he's a right-footed.
That's
kicker.
True. If he started off on the left foot, it might throw his steps off.
Yeah.
And then
or it could make him one of the most amazing kickers in the history of the league.
Yeah, ambidextrous kicker.
Because you need those.
Like
all right,
Jim
wrap
Cotton.
This up.
Ambilextrous.
You didn't I like that one? Did that.
Okay.
Wrap it up.
All right.
Only he can make bad
yes,
puns.
Yes, exactly. Right.
I make good puns.
Well, tomorrow, as we've mentioned a few times here, tomorrow they put the pads on. And,
we hope.
Well, I mean, they have the ability to put the pads.
Never
on.
Any guarantee with Bill Belichick.
No, there isn't. No, there isn't. Do we want to make note quickly, too, before we go, of what we saw at the very beginning of practice?
No. I don't know what you're talking about. So, no. We'll do that tomorrow. For Eric Scalavino and Paul Perreault, I'm Andy Hart. Gotta go. Bye.
Downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.